Welcome to the Pop Culture Pod Podcast. Now let's begin.
Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. This is our Deep Space Nine discussion panel. This is Season 6.0. But before we get into this episode, this is going to be a shorter episode. We're only going to be discussing the first six episodes of the beginning of Season 6. The reason being, we're having technical issues with Skype, so unfortunately, we had to cut the recording short. So here we go. I'm once again joined by Ragnar, Curtis, and Richard. So without further ado, let's begin this episode. Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. I am your host. My name is Chris Lockhart, and this is once again our Deep Space Nine discussion panel. And for this episode, we're going to be talking about the first 13 episodes of Season 6. So this is Season 6.0. And I am not alone. I have assembled the panel, as always. So for in no particular order, let's go around the room. First up, Mr. Curtis Holloway. How's it going, Curtis?
Awesome. Hello, everybody.
And next up is Mr. Richard Szabo. Richard, how's it going?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to get back into Season 6. This is the hell of a season.
Excellent. Let's do this. And last but not least, we have Ragnar. How's it going, Ragnar?
Hey, good. Hello, everyone.
All right. So, just to recap where we left off on our last exciting episode. I believe I was quoted, and if I wasn't, I'll throw this quote out there now. That the Season 5 finale, Call to Arms, was my second favorite Star Trek cliffhanger of all time. Behind Best of Both Worlds Part 1 on Next Generation. That's my favorite cliffhanger of all time of any show. You know, I don't care about who shot JR. I wanted to know what was going to happen to Captain Picard, right? but Call to Arms, I mean, it was amazing. So where we left off is Sisko and the Federation with Garak escape on the Defiant while the Dominion, led by Galt Dukat, Weyoun, Damar, take over Deep Space Nine, or as they prefer to call it, Tarok Nor. Kira and Odo stay behind because Bajor has signed a non-aggression pact with the Dominion. Quark stays behind because he's not going to abandon his bar. Rom stays behind because he's going to be, using air quotes, a spy for the Federation. And surprise to his father, Jake decides to stay behind to report on what's happening on the station when the Dominion takes over for the Federation News Service. So that's where we left off. And now we're back after, at this time, let me see here. So that Call to Arms aired the week of June 16th, 1997. So A Time to Stand, the first episode of this of Season 6, didn't air until September 29th. Of 1997. So that was, it was a long summer, man. Like, I remember, like, wanting to know what the hell is going to go on now. And I gotta tell you, I was not disappointed. So let's get right into this. So this is Season 6, and this season went from 1997 through 1998. Episode 125 of the series, first of the season, is A Time to Stand, Stardate Unknown. We don't know what stardate it is. Directed by Alan Croker. Written by Ira Stephen Baer and Hans Beimler. And honestly, I think in all the episodes that we've done, I think this is the first time we've had a Stardate Unknown. The original air date was September 29th, 1997. Okay, so 3 months into the war, DS9 is still under Dominion control. Sisko and his crew are given a mission to destroy a vital Ketracel White facility deep in Dominion space using a captured Jem'Hadar ship, the one that we saw from the second episode of Season 5. Jake is working for the Federation News Service. Odo is head of Terok Nor Security, supported by the Vorta Weyoun. Yeah. Awesome episode. I loved right from the beginning, like them fighting in this war, them going behind enemy lines on the Jem'Hadar ship. And I love this first batch of episodes. I love seeing the dominion and control of Deep Space Nine. I love seeing Dukat in command of the station again. I love him sitting behind Sisko's desk. I love, you know, Quark trying to make the best of it, you know, with his bar and listening to Damar, you know, spill his guts while he's drinking Kanar. You know, I just thought this was awesome. And I loved at the end of the episode how Odo kind of uses his pull as a founder to get what he wants. He gets his Bajoran security detachment reassigned to the station because he just goes to Weyoun and tells him that's what he wants. And because Weyoun's a loyal Vorta, he does it. Much to Dukat's chagrin, I love the chemistry, but with Kira and Dukat, both great actors. Yeah, this episode did not disappoint. And right from the beginning, right in that opening scene, when, you know, they talk about that Federation task force that got taken out, and I think, what'd they say? There's something like only like 11 or 12 ships made it back out of like 123 or something. And you realize, like, yeah, the war is going very badly for the Federation and Klingon Alliance. You know, that, like, it's not good. And this episode, again, ends in a cliffhanger where the crew on the Jem'Hadar ship are trapped behind enemy lines now. So, a great episode. So, Curtis, what are your thoughts on this episode?
Well, I'm just trying to rewind for myself. As you know, the girlfriend got into DS9 recently, and we just watched the second last episode of the series.
Ooh.
And so that's what's fresh in my mind. So tonight's going to be a challenge. no, I mean, it was definitely good to get back into the swing of things after, like you say, one of the best cliffhangers pretty much in all of television in the 90s. But It is kind of fun to see everything a little bit topsy-turvy. It's like upside down world. Like you say, the Dominion are back on the station and running everything. And I'm not going to lie, I was pretty impressed with Jake for staying back. You know, that was that took some guts. Yeah, just really fun. Good way to come back into the new season.
Yeah, I think this was the episode where they had the scene between Jake and Weyoun, when he's talking about freedom of the press, and Weyoun just laughs at him and says, "You don't tell me you're that naive." Yeah, that was great. Richard, your thoughts, sir?
Honestly, I really like it. There's a lot of interpersonal relations between, you know, there's a scene between Sisko and Bashir, and then there's that kind of, there's a big scene between Sisko and his dad, and they get into a bit of an argument because, you know, his grandson's stuck on that space station, and I don't care that he's an adult and he made his own choices, like, you get him back. You know, those are some, like, really, like, strong, like, heartfelt scenes, and I can't remember the actor's name, but the guy who plays Sisko's dad is just amazing. Like, they play off each other really well, and the three of them together is great, because it is almost like you're watching, like, a family unit. And as we've talked about before, Sisko, Avery Brooks, and Cyric Lofton are super tight. They're basically family. He considers him his son and father, respectively. And just those, like, interactions are really good. And then interactions between, you know, Damar and Quark, you know, the barkeep. And then, of course, like, the back and forth with Jake Sisko and Weyoun. There's just so much, like, screen time, and it's based on just the dialogue and the way they talk to each other that I think is absolutely phenomenal. And then
can I add something quickly?
Sure.
Just to play off what you said about how Grandpa Sisko told Benjamin to get him back, I would just point out that that's the same line that that actor had in Star Trek IV: Voyage Home, shouting about Kirk, losing him over the comms.
Yeah,
get him back in time. Get him back.
Yeah, fun pretty fact. Much. And then, of course, like, Wei-Yun being, like, the pragmatist he is, he's like, don't be so naive. You think that the press, you know, and things like that. So, honestly, a great episode, excellent acting, as always, and Wei-Yun just killing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Joseph Sisko as well. I like the idea that they had, too, about blowing up the Ketracel White facility. Like, it was kind of smart, but at the same time, I don't know if they, you know, did the calculations as well as they could have, you know? They almost didn't escape with their lives.
Yep.
And I love seeing Admiral Ross. I don't know. I really like Admiral Ross in Deep Space Nine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, excellent episode. We'll watch every time.
Excellent. I just wanted to jump on a couple of points that you brought up. That actor's name is Brock Peters. Amazing actor who plays Grandpa Sisko. And, what was my other point? Oh, I lost my train of thought. What you just mentioned. What did you just mention?
About the Ketracel White facility?
No.
Or the interaction about Jake Sisko, or Joseph Sisko and Francisco fighting, get him back.
Yeah, no, crap. It's been a long day. I totally forgot my second point. I'll remember at some point. Ragnar, your thoughts, sir?
Well, I think, as far as season openers go, this is a hell of a season opener. It draws you right in. Lots of action, lots of suspense. It's interesting to see the Federation losing. And one of my favorite things about this is you going into the episode for the first time, I totally expected that the Federation would retake DS9 in the first episode. And mm-hmm. That's not what happens at all. They don't even come close. They don't even try. And I thought that was so cool because, you know, I thought for sure, you know, in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, you don't take the Deep Space Station away from them.
Yep.
And so I really liked that they didn't do that. Yeah, overall, stellar episode, stellar season, and a great way to start it. Lots of amazing performances. You really, you know, Dukat makes your skin crawl, which is what he's best at. And it was also interesting to see Odo interacting with the Dominion, because we weren't really sure what to expect there. Mm-hmm. So that becomes that, and you know, as the season progresses, of course, we see a lot more of that relationship. So yeah, great episode. Love it. Definitely, definitely not one to skip.
Yep. I remembered what I was going to say. Admiral Ross, you brought that up, Richard. Admiral Ross, I love Admiral Ross because, well, I like Barry Jenner. No, is that his name? Barry Jenner, I believe. Anyway, that actor, amazing. He was great in that role, and I like the fact that finally we have an admiral who's not a dick. Or a bad guy, you know? Like, he's just a genuinely nice guy, and he's good at his job. I appreciate that. I don't know what it is about Star Trek admirals. They just got to be assholes for some reason.
My feelings wouldn't have been hurt if they brought in a Chiv. I could look at her for more
yes,
than
a day.
For real, though. For real.
I always wanted them to bring her back somehow, like maybe as a senior admiral, like when they're planning, when they did that scene later, like in episode 5, where they have all the admirals and they're planning to retake Deep Space Nine. I was so wishing she had been there. I think that would have been fantastic. And one thing I really liked about this whole notion, like, because I mean, Deep Space Nine obviously is a space station. I like the idea that it can be taken, you know, kind of like in a war. You know, when, like, an enemy force takes over a castle, and then they occupy that castle. I love the fact that they did that with Deep Space Nine, you know, because that really happens in warfare. And with it being, you know, for the Dominion, the most strategic, you know, place in the Alpha Quadrant, you know, it only makes sense that they would want to take it and keep it. But anyway, I digress. Let's move on to the next episode. It is 126th of the series, second of the season. It's Rocks and Shoals, stardate 51107.2, directed by Mike Viger, written by Ronald D. Moore, original air date October 6th, 1997. Sisko and his crew crash on a planet where they encounter a band of Jem'Hadar. Aside from, you know, statistically, this, you know, all the variables that would have to come into play to crash land on the same planet in the same area, it was kind of don't think about that too hard. The episode itself was fantastic. I love episodes when they're, you know, on away missions and so on and so forth, and you can't get more away than this. I know some of the behind the scenes things that I've seen about this season and this episode in particular. Apparently, it was very warm when they filmed this, and it's extremely hard on the actors wearing the prosthetics. But you know, it was great seeing Garrick and his interactions with. I liked him. I liked those scenes with him and Nog together. What's his name? The Vorta has betrayed them, and he's like, yeah, I know. I figured it out. Yeah, Kivon. And I know his plan doesn't make tactical sense. He's like, then why are you going through with it? And it's because those are my orders. And that's how, you know, dedicated Jem'Hadar are. Plus, I think they know that they're running out of white, and it's better to go out in a blaze of glory than to, you know, turn on each other, right?
Suffer as prisoners.
Yeah, that too. But, yeah, this was a fantastic episode. I loved it. Richard, your thoughts, sir?
I think it's a great episode. A little bit slow for my liking. There's a lot of quiet scenes. But I do like the marooned part of it, you know, with those, giant plot holes where they just happen to be marooned on the exact same planet in the exact same, you know, tiny corner of space.
Yep.
And just as a quick aside, I just remembered that Joseph Sisko in the previous episode had said something about if space is so vast, why do people have to keep trying to, like, take over somebody else's part of space? And I'm like, I think that's just, like, the nature of beings in general. You know, conquer, things like that.
Yep.
I mean, it just seems like, I'm not surprised that it's like that, as fast as space is, you know what I mean? But I like Kivon. I don't know. Something about him is just entertaining and interesting. Well, yeah, it's a good episode. I definitely don't skip this one.
Excellent. Ragnar, your thoughts?
I will say, when you watch it in chronological order on a, you know, on something like Netflix where you can just watch episode after episode back to back, this episode does feel quite slow when compared with, say, the season opener. But I think when it originally aired with a whole week in between, you didn't get that sense as strongly. But overall, I think this is a pretty good episode. It was interesting. It was, it was nice to see a little bit more about Jem'Hadar and learn a little bit more about their, you know, I guess their thought process.
Mm-hmm.
And, overall, I think this is a really good episode, and I always really enjoy this one.
Excellent. Curtis, your thoughts?
Now, you know, when O'Brien finally got back, Keiko still chewed his asshole out about ripping his pants. You know she did.
Absolutely. Like, why the hell did you rip your best pants? Like, what the hell?
Right? Like, oh, you know he heard about it. Nope. Not a bad episode. It's not one of my favorites, but I don't skip it. It is a little slow, and like Ragnar said, in our, fast-paced sort of method of consumption of of media these days, it does seem slow comparatively because, you know, your adrenaline's still going from the last episode and all this anticipation's still fresh.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I never stopped myself from napping through it either.
Excellent.
But it's not a bad one.
The next episode of the series is 127, third of the season, and that's Sons and Daughters, Stardate Unknown, directed by Jesus Salvador Trevino, written by Bradley Thompson and David Weddle, original air date October 13th, 1997. While on General Martok's ship, Worf is reunited with his estranged son, Alexander. Glad they finally brought Alexander into the show. Since Worf's return, I know he mentioned about how Alexander went back to Earth to live with his adopted parents. But I wondered why he didn't come to Deep Space Nine. Like, if Jake can live on Deep Space Nine, why couldn't Alexander? I don't know what it is about Klingons. Like, they sure age fast. Now he's a young adult in the Klingon service. Like, it was crazy. Not the best episode, but it was okay, I guess. But also in this episode, they rescue Sisko at the beginning of the episode, Sisko and crew from that planet. And also, Zial returns, and she's reunited with Gul Dukat and Kira. And I believe this is the episode when Kira decides that she's going to start a new resistance movement against Dukat. All right, so Ragnar, your thoughts on this episode?
I love this episode. Anytime it's a Klingon-centric episode, I tend to love it. This is a great episode. It's interesting to watch, you know, Worf first be angry and then slowly accept that his son is basically the jester, the fool of the ship. Mm-hmm. It must have been, well, and we see it, of course, it was incredibly frustrating for him, but, you got to admire Alexander. He's small, like physically small, especially for a Klingon. And he still has a lot of, a lot of balls, a lot of guts to go through with things. Even if he is the ship's fool, that still would take, well, actually, that'd probably take a lot of guts to do that in Klingon culture. That'd probably be a very, very dishonorable position. So I think, I always thought this was a great episode. And if you like Klingons, you're going to love it.
Excellent. Curtis, your thoughts?
I thought it was a lot of fun to see Worf have to confront things that perhaps he chooses to ignore in himself, but now that he's seeing them in Alexander, a little bit of the self-doubt, things like that. Worf's always putting on that tough front, he's got to appear a certain way, yada yada. So, I don't know. I tend to think of it as more of an introspective experience for Worf, and maybe that's what he's disgruntled about more so than the fact that his son is personifying some of these things that, everyone has in them, but some of us hide.
Excellent. And Richard, your thoughts?
I actually really liked the episode. Thinking back on it now as a parent, I think to myself, what would I have done in Worf's position, and knowing that Worf was a full-time warrior, he wasn't ready to be a parent. But I'd also I'm more curious about how the culture of that surrounds those situations on, say, on Kronos. Like, does any of their younger children, follow that, and how they obviously, I don't think they join them on their ships. They don't have children on ships, but I guess it's a different, completely different culture in Kronos, because then he would have been able to, be around his people and be around the other warriors and train consistently on Kronos, as opposed to being on a human settlement with his grandparents. And I know that Worf kind of thrived in that in some ways, and he became a strong warrior. Alexander's upbringing was really difficult, his mother being murdered so young while he was so young, and Like, it's really tough for Alexander because he basically got, you know, shoved aside so that Worf could go do his own thing, and he was stuck, you know, not getting to even have that kind of warrior support growing up. So it and like Ragnar said, it took so much like courage for him to go join the military on Kronos. And, you know, sure, it's really tough being the ship's fool on a Klingon ship of all places. But I think that he, you know, eventually kind of finds his footing, and with more training and more support, I think that he could, you know, he's going to do really well, you know, later on down the road. Because he did have some really good moves as a young child with the Bat'leth. He just needed to practice more, you know, just like FPS gaming. You know, I play a lot of FPS games, and if you take a break from it, you notice that, like, aim's a little bit off, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, like, I think that it also translates to, like, you know, hand-to-hand combat. You don't fight for 10 years, you're not going to be able to just, like, walk back in and just beat people up. But yeah, it's a really good episode. I like the interaction. Like, it's, you know, interesting to see how, you know, Michael Dorn takes that role as the father, and, you know, how their cultures come into it with different aspects. And, you know, the way Worf is very stalwart, very set in his ways. And now he basically has to adapt and, you know, also be a father at the same time as being, you know, second in command and a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, now he's getting married again, or he's getting married, you know, for the first time for real. So all those things kind of like play into it, and it's really good for the interplay between them all. And I like it. Good episode.
One thing I kind of always wondered, like, I wonder what, like, where's Kalar's parents? You know, because if I remember correctly, Kalar's mom is Klingon, right? Like, because Kalar was half Klingon. I think her mom was Klingon. So I always wondered why they didn't bring them into Alexander's life. Like, unless they died or something, I don't know.
Yeah, that was never spoke about ever that I'm aware of in Star Trek.
Yeah. But anywho, next episode is 128th of the series, fourth of the season. Behind the Lines, Stardate 51149.5, directed by LeVar Burton. Written by Rene Echevarria. Original air date, October 20th, 1997. Alright, so I'm going to go a little bit more in depth on this one. Returning from another mission against the Dominion on the Defiant, Captain Sisko is informed that Starfleet Intelligence has discovered a massive sensor array that the Dominion is using to track Starfleet ship movements. Sisko determines the only way to destroy the array is to approach it through a star cluster. However, Sisko is promoted to an adjutant to Admiral Ross and will not be commanding the mission. Commander Dax is placed in command of the Defiant while Sisko misses his crew and frets over their safe return. Dax leads the mission and succeeds in destroying the array. Meanwhile, Major Kira and others on occupied Deep Space Nine are successful in spreading distrust between the Cardassians and Dominion by allowing the Dominion Jem'Hadar soldiers to find out about Cardassian officers Damar's proposal to poison the Jem'Hadar if supplies run out of the drug needed to control them. Meanwhile, the Cardassians' leader, Dukat, has still not been able to destroy the Starfleet minefield, preventing Dominion reinforcements from arriving from the Gamma Quadrant. Also in this episode, one of the changelings, the shapeshifter rulers of the Dominion, visits Deep Space Nine, the female shapeshifter, hoping to spend time with Odo. She persuades Odo to link with her, physically joining their liquid bodies so she can understand more about his people. Damar, while drinking at Quark's bar, reveals that he has found a way to destroy the minefield by firing a beam from the station's deflector array. Quark relays this information to Kira, and she and Rom plan a sabotage of the deflector. Odo offers to disable the security system so that Rom's interference goes undetected. However, when the moment comes, Odo is in the middle of linking with the other changeling, and so when Rom begins his work and sets off the security alarm, he is captured by Damar. Kira confronts Odo, but he merely says that while linked, nothing else matters. Another great episode. A little bit of a WTF moment when Odo just doesn't seem to care anymore. Very unlike him to be seduced to the dark side. Great episode. Curtis, your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, I dig it. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot to say about it. It's a good enough episode. I enjoy it, but I don't know. The only part of it that really stands out to me is when Quark's all drunk and he stumbles into the little resistance meeting and joking on about how he was just having some canard with Damar. Other than that, I mean, it's all right. I dig it well enough.
Excellent. Richard, your thoughts, sir?
I actually really like this episode, and I got to say, that little speech that they say after they bring back the spent phaser ray power stones, take a good look at this, people. It says something about this ship. Mm-hmm. It says that we'll fight, and we'll keep on fighting until we can't fight anymore. And then they respond with the yes, sir. And then they say, you don't just throw something like this away. And I just, that one just gets me every time, you know?
Yep.
It's a really good episode, a lot of good interplay again. The acting in season 6 just kind of just kills it all over. And the female changeling coming into the picture, and it was a huge, huge bar fight, and Damar gets drunk all the time. It's great, honestly. I really like this episode.
Ragnar, your thoughts?
Don't have too much to say. The biggest thing with this episode is, of course, you know, what the hell's up with Odo letting down the team?
Mm-hmm.
And that it's so out of character for him that it really does come as a bit of a shock that he is more focused on the changeling than doing what he was supposed to do.
Yep.
And, you know, of course, we're going to see that get expanded upon further in the next couple episodes. But really, like, the next three episodes are really just sort of one storyline.
Yep.
And I often watch all three in a row, so I kind of think of it all as one giant episode, really.
Yeah, this would have been a hell of a movie, for sure.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Yep. Sure. All right, well, the next episode, episode 129, fifth of the season, Favor the Bold, Stardate Unknown. Directed by Winrich Kolbe, written by Ira Steven Behr and Hans Beimler. Original air date, October 27th, 1997. All right, so I'm going to go into a little bit more detail again. Captain Sisko decides to retake Deep Space Nine in order to bolster the sagging Federation morale. The Klingon General Martok and its first officer Worf are sent to convince Klingon High Council to send ships for the attack. And the Federation is also massing a fleet. On Deep Space Nine, the Ferengi technician Rom is sentenced to execution for attempting to foil the Dominion's plan to destroy the minefield, blocking the wormhole. The minefield is the only thing keeping the Dominion reinforcements from arriving from the Gamma Quadrant. Major Kira, the Bajoran liaison secretly leading the resistance against the Dominion occupation, pleads for mercy for Rom with Weyoun, the station's Dominion administrator, but to no avail. Kira persuades Tor Ziel, the daughter of Cardassian Dukat, to ask her father to show mercy, but he is too adamant. Security Officer Odo is no help. He is seduced by an offer to return to his people, the shape-shifting founders of the Dominion, and has lost interest in station affairs. Cardassian Officer Damar lets slip to the bartender Quark that the minefield will be eliminated in about a week. Quark passes this intelligence to Kira's resistance and Sisko's son Jake, who remain on the station while the Dominion was seized. And they're able to sneak a message to his father with Morn, alerting him of the minefield's impending destruction. Sisko realizes that he must take the station now, though his fleet is nowhere near large enough. With the fleet consisting of 600 vessels, Sisko arrives near Deep Space Nine, facing a Cardassian Dominion fleet of 1,254 ships. He turns to his crew and says, "There's an old saying, fortune favors the bold. I guess we're about to find out as the operation begins." Yeah, great episode. Like Ragnar said, these three episodes, it's almost, to me, it's like this is better than any of the TNG movies. They should have made this into a movie. It would have been amazing. I can't say enough great things about it. Richard, your thoughts, sir?
I actually really like it. There's a lot going on, and the field promotion of Nog to ensign was great. And he says, "Can you believe it? They made me an ensign." And then O'Brien says, "I didn't realize things were going so bad." And then Nog is like, "Yeah, scary, isn't it?" This is like a little bit of humor, you know. Like if Star Trek tries too hard for funny, it doesn't play. But a little bit of humor in there, like some of their interplay between some of the characters, is really good.
And O'Brien's one of their better vehicles for humor too.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%. And then Martok and Worf have to go convince Gowron, which is, you know, pretty obvious. Like, hey, the person you hate the most and the person you like the most are telling you the same thing. You should probably do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the episode. It's really good.
Excellent. Ragnar, your thoughts, sir?
Oh, I think this is a great episode, you know. A good middle part of the movie if they had gone that route, which would have been amazing. And it really just leaves you wanting to watch the next episode and see what happens next. It definitely feels like one of those episodes that if you had to wait while it was on its original run on television, it would have been like, well, what the hell's going to happen? What the hell's going to happen?
Yep.
So, yeah, great episode. Absolutely.
And it was. It totally was. I watched these episodes on these original air dates, and I remember, yeah, like, it was like, damn it. Like, each episode, like, these last three episodes are like cliffhangers, every one of them. And it was so hard waiting for the next week. But, yeah, so worth it, though. Curtis, your thoughts, sir?
It's all pretty much been said. I mean, it is a good one, but it's just sort of moved for me. It's just moving me forward to the next one.
Excellent. All right, so speaking of the next one, episode 130 of the series, sixth of the season, Sacrifice of Angels. Again, stardate unknown. Directed by Alan Croker, written by Ira Stephen Behr and Hans Beimler, original air date November 3rd, 1997. And get a little bit more in depth in this one as well. With 8 hours before the minefield is destroyed, Sisko's fleet engages the Dominion fleet defending Deep Space Nine. Sisko orders Federation fighters to engage. And anyway, Dakota setting up a trap. He sets up a trap for Sisko, but nonetheless, Sisko orders his ships forward, desperate to reach the station. Meanwhile, Dakota's aide Damar arrests Kira, Sisko's son Jake, and Rom's wife Lita, correctly surmising they are part of a conspiracy against Dominion rule. The visiting changeling, attempting to break Odo's bond with the Solids and return him to his own people, tells Odo of Kira's arrest. As the Federation fleet becomes overwhelmed, the Klingon fleet arrives and flanks the Dominion. They clear a path for the Defiant through the rest of the Allied ships, although the rest of the Allied ships are unable to follow. Rom's brother Quark and Dukat's daughter Zial free Jake, Kira, Rom, and Lita from jail. Kira and Rom set off to sabotage the station's weapons. They are cornered by Dominion soldiers, but are rescued by Odo and his security team. Rom disables the weapons, but too late to prevent the destruction of the minefield. Sisko orders the Defiant into the wormhole, where they encounter a massive Dominion fleet. As Sisko prepares for a desperate suicide mission, he receives a vision from the Bajoran prophets, the powerful aliens who live in the wormhole, and who are upset that he intends to sacrifice himself before fulfilling his purposes. Before fulfilling their purposes. Sisko pleads with them to help the Bajorans, who created a religion around them. The prophets cause the Dominion ships to vanish, but warn Sisko that a penance will be exacted. The Defiant exits the wormhole and fires on the station, which cannot respond due to Rom's sabotage. Meanwhile, the Klingons and the Federation have outflanked the Dominion fleet with 200 ships heading to Deep Space Nine. The Dominion evacuates, but Ziel refuses to leave, telling her father that she helped Kira and the others escape. Damar overhears her confession and shoots her as an enemy of the state. Dukat collapses in grief. By the time Sisko arrives on the station, Ducat is in a holding cell sobbing over the loss of his daughter. As he is escorted to the infirmary, he returns Captain Sisko's baseball. Yeah. Amazing episode. Bringing the prophets into it, sheer genius. I did not see, like, I honestly didn't see that coming. And Sisko, like, what a badass. You know, he's one little ship against a fleet of, I think it was like 2,800 Dominion ships. And he's going in there and he's going to fight them. And yeah, I loved, you know, the evacuation. I loved the fact that the female shapeshifter was, you know, pretty confident that, you know, Odo will come to them eventually. And yeah, it was just a great episode all around. Ragnar, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, to finally see this story arc get concluded and to see them finally retake the station is incredible. You're starting, you know, by episode five, you're starting to wonder, like, are they even gonna retake the station? Or, like,
yeah,
you know, they dragged it out so long. And yeah, this is an awesome episode. Lots of action, lots of, you know, I guess kind of surprise twists, you know, like when the Klingon show up, that was awesome. And then, you know, when he goes into the wormhole and convinces the prophets or the wormhole aliens to, I don't know what they did, destroy or get rid of the Dominion fleet. But that was pretty cool because you were sure wondering, like, if he blows up the wormhole, would that even work? So mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. And then ZL, like, man, that was a real shocker, too. Nobody was expecting ZL to die. And, of course, that's going to set Ducat up to become a deranged supervillain later on. So, yeah, this is a hell of an episode. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of action. And, you know, it almost feels like a mid-season ending, but it's only six episodes in. But, yeah, killer episode. Just killer.
Yep. Curtis, your thoughts, sir.
Well, actually, I can speak to what happened to the fleet of Jem'Hadar ships in the wormhole. It's been a while since I've plugged Star Trek Online, so mm-hmm. Here we go. There's a mission you get to there's a mission you get to play where you deal with that fleet. They, in fact, got pushed forward in time about 40, 45 years or so. And your player character in Star Trek Online just happens to be hanging out at DS9 when this goes down. And you, of course, have to explain to them that, hey, the war is over, so you don't need to be on a murderous rampage around here anymore.
Wow.
Of course, the Jem'Hadar and the Vorta leading them don't believe you. So the mission is all about, without giving away any spoilers, doing some things to eventually convince them to go home.
Huh.
And I've talked a bunch, so I'll just pass it on to the next guys on the panel.
Oh, that's cool. I did not know that. Richard, your thoughts, yeah. Sir?
That, I had no idea about. That's actually really cool to know. In the episode, there's a moment O'Brien and Bashir and Nog were talking to themselves, and O'Brien's this quote that he does is, cannon to the left of them, cannon to the right of them, cannon in front of them, volleyed and thundered, stormed at with shot and shell. Boldly they rode in well into the jaws of death, into the mouth of hell, rode the 600. Love that line. So many good, like, little quotes like that just...
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, like, the battle itself was just hard fought. And they did. They rode really well. And, of course, Sisko, being the badass that he is, he's like, nah, I ain't going down without a fight. I will fight 3,000 Jem'Hadar attack ships. Let's do this. And Richard, yeah.
That's the second lengthy quote you pulled out tonight. How much homework did you do for this podcast?
I have a little bit of help with the remembering of the actual words, but those are things about the episodes that I actually liked.
I'm just giving you a hard time, man.
Excellent.
Hey, man, season six is awesome.
It is. It really is. Have you guys watched the documentary that they did on Deep Space Nine? What's it called again? It's the one with by Ira Stephen Bear.
Yes.
What We Left Behind, wasn't it?
Yeah, What We Left Behind. That's what it is. Yeah. It's on. It was on Tubi, so I think it's still there. Anyway, they did HD conversion for some of these battle scenes, and it's so awesome. I hope one day Paramount or CBS or whoever will give Deep Space Nine the HD treatment, because just for these battle scenes alone, like, it was amazing what they did. But anyway, I digress.
That'd be super cool.
That would be. It would be. Okay, so because of technical issues that I seem to be having with Skype or whatever, we're going to make this a two-part episode of the first half of Season 6. I'm having some technical issues. So before we go, let's play that little game of where can we find you on the internet. And Curtis, where can we find you, sir?
Well, I have an Instagram. There's nothing on it. I don't remember what it's called, but hopefully soon it'll be doing something other than occupying gigabytes somewhere.
Excellent. And Richard, where can we find you, sir?
Same as always, Monk Lifts on YouTube and on Instagram. But guys, the Halloween season's coming up. And the Christmas season, y'all need to get on top of RagnarTheTrader.com.
Yep.
Get it, son.
And speaking of which, Ragnar, where can we find you, sir?
Well, in case you missed it, it's RagnarTheTrader.com. I'm also on Etsy, Ragnar the Trader. And this weekend coming up, on the 23rd and 24th of October, I'll be in Edmonton at the Original Witches Market, which is at the Legion on Kingsway Avenue. And I'm super stoked to be back at a show. Haven't done the show in a while. And I know COVID has changed everything for shows, but it's still fun to do them.
Yep. And I'm totally blaming our technical issues on COVID.
Oh, heck yeah.
Skype's been infected by the COVIDs. I also just want to throw this out there that this weekend, fingers crossed, if everything goes according to plan, weather permitting, COVID permitting, we're going to have an actual meetup of the discussion panel. Like, we've all met each other before, but it's been a couple of years since we've all occupied the same space. So we're going to be hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, that we don't have a, you know, freak snowstorm or something. Who knows? It's 2020. Anything's possible. Barring 2020, we're going to be, you know, this discussion panel is going to be meeting up, and we'll maybe talk about it on our next episode. Yeah, we shall feast and have a good time. But, so this is a shorter episode. Again, I'm blaming COVID-19 and 2020. But this was our Deep Space Nine discussion. This is Season 6.0, Part 1. And thank you for listening, and we will see you again in the not-too-distant future. And I just want to point out that at the time of this recording, not only were we having issues with Skype, but it was also my daughter's 14th birthday. So I didn't realize it at the time, but my microphone was picking up a lot of background chit-chat, even though I was in a completely different room, and with my headphones on, I couldn't hear anything. That is the background noise that you hear is from my daughter's 14th birthday party. And I'm really bad at scheduling. I scheduled a podcast recording the night of my daughter's birthday. You know, I guess that's what I get. You know, like, for poor planning, Skype punished me. But anyway, looking forward to finishing discussing Season 6 .0 in our second part, which should be in a few weeks. So, and I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to our episodes. We appreciate any feedback you can give us. If you want to send us a message on Facebook, you can send me an email. My blog is randomnerdness.blogspot.com. And I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ChrisLock1701. We have a group on Facebook, the Pop Culture Pub and Podcast. Ask to join. I'm sure I will add you. I'm also an admin at the Incredible Fans of the Incredible Hulk. It's a group on Facebook. So if you're a fan of the Hulk, I think you might like that. And once again, I apologize for all the technical issues for this recording. This is not the way it normally is. So if this is your first episode, this is not the way our episodes usually roll. Usually we're a lot more prepared and professional, and I take full responsibility I don't. It's COVID-19. It's Skype. It's 2020. One of the worst years in human history. I'm blaming 2020. All right. That's all I gotta say. So thank you again for listening. If you're still listening, thank you. I really appreciate it. And you have yourself a good day, a great evening, and may 2020 be better for all of us. All right. See you later. Live long and prosper.